This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Stress has significant emotional and health impacts, but what people may not realize is the powerful impact stress can have on a person's oral health. Dr. Charles Sutera is here to weigh in on the dental health concerns today's stress-filled society may be causing for consumers. Dr. Sutera, thanks for joining us once again here on eHealth Radio.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Thank you.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Always great to have you on the program. So tell us, as a doctor of dental medicine and oral health expert, you're saying that stress plays a big part in oral health. Can you elaborate to get things underway here today?
Yeah, it actually does. And I think it's in a way that a lot of people may not realize. And you know what it does is it comes down to three components. The first thing, the mouth is one of the first places stress shows, whether we realize it or not. If you've ever had a rough week and gotten a fever blister on your lip, that's stress in action. The mouth's actually highly reactive. In times of stress, you know, people often cope by clenching their teeth, grinding their teeth, biting their nails, and they even develop ulcers in their gums. So you can see how the mouth can really be integrated into these stress coping mechanisms. And these are all signs that our oral health is kind of hinting that we're more stressed than we are, you know, intended to be. The second thing to know is that stress can distract us from our normal routines. You know, when we're stressed, it's easy for our normal healthy routines to kind of take a back seat. When people are stressed, you can bet that their life usually becomes more erratic and rushed. And even if they don't realize that these things happen, that makes people more likely to commit less time to health routines like brushing and flossing and even good nutrition and other healthy habits. So, you know, be mindful of those things. And finally, oral health itself can even be a stress in our lives. You know, studies show that as many as 70% of the world population lists going to the dentist as one of their biggest fears. That's huge. And I think a big part of it has to do with the fear of the unknown. You know, most people are uncomfortable with the concept of what if. You know, they say stuff like, what if something bad happens? What if I get hurt? And these are things that are pretty universal in our lives for fears, but I think it especially applies to dentistry. But here's the thing, you know, a lot of fears that are linked in dentistry are kind of things in the past. You know, modern day dentistry is much different than it used to be, but I think those fears are still kind of rooted to some degree. But I think what people need to remind themselves is that, you know, the past isn't the modern day, and our imagination probably isn't leading us to believe what actually is reality nowadays. So people can kind of take that and feel a little bit more comforted by the fact that, you know, things aren't as bad as they once were. And they should be most likely be much more comfortable than they think they're going to be as a dentist.
Yeah, certainly a great way to lead things off here today. Some fabulous information on the topic. Now, what are the early warning signs that stress may be poised to impact one's oral health? Touch on some of the highlights on that.
Well, that's a great question. You know, I think the key here is to realize stress is a distraction. That's the biggest problem with it. It's always been a distraction in anyone's life, no matter who you are. And, you know, I think someone once said, you know, we're designed to worry about something unless there's a bigger problem to worry about. And I think that's important to keep in mind, and it helps to keep things into perspective. You know, oftentimes when we get worked up about something, it's all we can think about. It's easier to forget that there's plenty of other worthy things that deserve our attention as well. And that continuing to kind of tunnel our lives into stressing on one thing, that can erode, you know, positive things in our lives that we are kind of displacing at the moment. And one of those things can be our health. Studies have shown that emotional stress has, you know, pretty severe consequences on our physical health. They're mutually linked in many ways. Stress also has a way of distracting us, like we talked about, you know, from good health routines like hygiene and healthy eating, and it pushes us towards coping with less than ideal habits. And I understand, you know, stress sometimes is unavoidable, but we at least owe it to ourselves to recognize how it puts us in a, you know, compromised position, and we should kind of recognize when these things are happening and be aware of, you know, things we can do to help push ourselves to more positive experiences.
Dr. Sutera, another question for you. Most people have heard of lockjaw, but what are the symptoms and what should people do if they suspect they are experiencing this condition?
Yeah, lockjaw, you know, I feel like it's something that's seems to be becoming more common, and I don't know if it's just anecdotal, but, you know, it's a pretty overwhelming condition. It's basically the inability to open or close your mouth, you know, even just a minor amount, you know, even if it's just a little less movement of the jaw, sometimes that can have pretty severe consequences to, you know, our eating and speaking and things like that. You may have heard the term trismus. That's basically the medical term for lockjaw. They basically mean the same thing. The reason lockjaw happens is usually due to muscle strain. So we're talking about, you know, stress of the muscles. And when you think about it, it's pretty linked to emotional stress too. When people are stressed, they start clenching and grinding their teeth, and that creates a lot of muscle tension around the face and the mouth. And it's not really too big of a problem if it's, you know, one day or a couple days. But when it's a long-term problem and this is going on for a long period of time, that's when things kind of lead up to this locking mechanism where the muscles just get so fatigued over time that they start to almost like give up, like almost if you went to the gym and just worked out so hard that the muscles are just so locked up they can't really move much anymore. That becomes very overwhelming when it's actually the jaw, because you start to realize that speaking, eating, and just overall life involves the jaw movement in pretty much all situations. So when your mouth is limited in movement, it's pretty scary for people. Luckily, you know, the treatment for it is basically a dentist or a specialist will help the patient to kind of use mechanisms to help reduce that tension, whether it's an appliance or physical therapy or things like that. It just kind of train them into better habits to gradually reduce that tension over time, and, you know, it usually resolves.
Really appreciate your input concerning lockjaw. That is quite informative and helpful today. We're speaking with Dr. Charles Sutera, once again, a nationally recognized oral health expert and doctor of medicine and dentistry, and he's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Dental and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, tell us, what is the trigger for people to understand that it is time to go to the dentist as opposed to home care and remedies there?
Great question. Yeah. A lot of people are wondering that at home, especially during the lockdown with COVID and everything. At-home remedies really came into light quite a bit. So here's the deal with home remedies. Sometimes you'll have dental pain, and it's basically a flash in the pan. It might go away on its own, you know, in a day or two. So you don't want to stress too much about those little minor twinges here and there. You know, if you have minor little discomfort, give it some time at home and try some home remedies. Oftentimes these little twinges will go away in a day or two. And if it doesn't go away in a week, you know, maybe that might be a time to call your dentist to check in and see what their thoughts are, if they think it's warranted to come in or if they have a recommendation specifically for your situation. But here's the thing. You know, there's situations that really can't wait more than a couple of days. And there's a few clear criteria that I think people need to know, and they'll know exactly when they should call a dentist pretty much immediately. Those things are basically severe pain, like, you know, anything more than, you know, mild, where you're, if it's keeping you up at night, that's a reason to call your dentist pretty much right away. If you have swelling, you know, that's another clear indication dentist is needed pretty soon. Or uncontrolled bleeding that lasts, you know, more than a few minutes. You know, that's something you'd want to talk to your dentist as soon as you're able to, within the next day or so.
Now, looking at preventative steps, are there a top three takeaways of preventative steps people can take to minimize the impact of stress on their oral health? I'm sure the listeners would appreciate your input on that.
Of course, yeah. So I think, you know, a lot of we're talking a lot about oral health, but I think a lot of these principles are pretty universal as well. So a lot of these things we'll talk about, you know, it's not just a dental focus, it's also kind of overall stress in our lives. And I think one of the key things to know is, you know, if we change, everything will change for us. So basically what I recommend is do an audit of your life and be honest with yourself. Look at things like, are there any good habits in your life that you should increase? And are there any bad habits that you should try to decrease? You know, from a dental perspective, you know, you want to look at things like, are you practicing good oral hygiene? Can you invest in a power toothbrush? Are you staying current with your checkups? And then, you know, from a negative oral health perspective, you know, bad habits to look out for and try to reduce are, you know, excessive use of alcohol, things like smoking, or even things you might not even realize, things like even just biting your nails and nibbling on pens throughout the day. Over time, that stress can impact the teeth and the mouth and the gums and cause deterioration over time. The second thing, you know, I think, and this is also universal, is control fear. You know, now more than ever, it's easy to hunker down and avoid things that we miss fear. And one of those things might be going to the dentist. You know, it's something that even in a normal year, people, you know, are afraid to go to the dentist. But I think the key is you have to remind yourself that, you know, what we feel fear for in the short term might be necessarily unjustified and might be sacrificing our long term. You know, so keep that in mind. Keep everything in perspective, short term versus long term, and try to control fear and balance each other. Balance those fears against, you know, long term success. And the final thing is, you know, just stay positive. You know, there's studies that show that two people can view the exact same situation completely opposite. So yeah, people, same situation, same facts, think of it two different ways. One could be positive, one could be negative. You know, I think that's pretty powerful. It shows that, you know, our life isn't so much how things are, it's how we think they are. And that's the key to things. That's the key to balancing stress or health and anything in your life, really. It's just try to see things the best way they possibly can, in the most realistic way they can be. You know, it's an important thing to keep everything in perspective, and I think that's overall the best thing we can do for our well-being.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Dr. Sutera. Some fabulous information in all regards, and yeah, the stress levels are high during the last 14 months, and I can't thank you enough for coming on to touch on this as it pertains to our oral health and your three takeaways there. Much appreciated. If listeners wanted to connect with you or to get more information on your practice, where's the best place online to get the details?
The best way to get in touch with me is usually on Instagram, just at Dr. Sutera is the easiest place to contact me.
And that certainly is easy enough. Again, folks, on Instagram, that's at Dr. Sutera. Dr. Sutera, all the best. Thanks for joining us once again here on eHealth Radio, and look forward to our next conversation.
Sounds great. Thanks so much.
Again, we've been speaking with Dr. Charles Sutera, nationally recognized oral health expert and doctor of medicine and dentistry. And for more information, visit aestheticsmilereconstruction.com or on Instagram at Dr. Sutera. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.